Blog Talk Radio.
It's Tuesday night, and you know what that means. Flat Track Weekly Radio is here, bring you up-to-date news and insight you won't find anywhere else on the planet. Hosted by Grand National racer Corey Texter and AMA Pro announcer Scotty Dubler, this show is guaranteed to pack some speed. So sit back and hold on tight. Flat Track Weekly Radio is on, and now here's C-Tex and Hollywood.
What's up, everyone? Sorry for not having a show the past couple weeks. We've had a few issues with our server and things like that, but we're back at it. Corey Texter here alongside my buddy Scotty Dubler. Scotty, how's it going, man? What are you up to? No racing going on lately.
Absolutely no racing going on. So I actually worked with Bubba Black while he did some stunt shows up in Effingham, Illinois, not last weekend, but the weekend before, and hung out with Bubba and enjoyed the brisk weather up there, but we had two pretty cool stunt shows, and that's about it, man. There's nothing much really going on, just wishing we were in Las Vegas already. You know, I just such a long break from Del Mar, Delaware to Las Vegas, so just kind of going crazy. What about you?
Yeah, same deal, man. Just getting ready for the last round here in Las Vegas and training and running, bicycling, doing all that stuff. It's like my... I don't know, kind of, it's training for me, but it also keeps me sane, and it keeps me motivated when there's no racing going on. It just gives me something to do, I guess, and we just got a new puppy dog. We got a golden retriever, me and my wife, so been taking care of that. It's a full-time job. It's probably more time-consuming than having a baby, a human baby, but no, it's been good, man, just preparing and getting ready to finish out the year and non-stop working around the clock trying to get enough money to go racing next year. I'm excited for 2016, but it takes some support to do it, so that's what I've been busy doing, trying to do that whole deal. You know, you were a racer at one point, and you know how that goes.
That's a full-time job too, especially looking for money, and you know, money's tight right now. It seems like everybody's you know, watching their billfold, watching their budget, and you know, trying to use their money wisely. So it's tougher now as it was, you know, when I was racing. So it's that's hard to do. So you still going to be running the Black Hammer next year, or you make any changes, or too early to say?
It's too early to say right now what exactly, you know, what the plan is 100%, but as of right now, we'll have the Black Hammer for next season. I mean, we've got a lot of progress on that thing over the past couple months, and I don't really see a ceiling for the bike in the near future. I think it'll keep getting better. You know, there's some things we can definitely do to make the bike better. So we're going to work on that this off season. I'm going to take the bike down to Savannah in a couple of weeks, the week before Vegas, and race it down there and try some things and just get some seat time on it. But in addition to the Black Hammer, we're building her an older sister. So we're going to call her the Sledgehammer. It's going to be a 750cc. So it's going to have a, I'm not going to give you the exact horsepower numbers, but it's going to have a significant amount of horsepower, more than what we've had this year, and it'll be primarily used for the mile tracks. But that's the plan for right now, trying to get some funding and stuff like that to build this new motorcycle and continue growing my team, Corey Texter Racing, CTR. It's kind of my own deal. You know, I got tired of begging for rides and hoping people would show up to the racetrack and trying to ride a new motorcycle every week and get comfortable on it, and I felt like the only way I could reach my full potential was to build my own race bikes, do it the way I wanted to do it, and go for it. You know, it's more money to do it that way and a lot more stress, but at the end of the day, you know, I have a lot of goals that I want to accomplish before I retire, and I'm not getting any younger, so I'm slowly starting to hit my prime, I would say, and I really want to get, you know, accomplish these goals. You're only on this earth once, and I've had these goals since I was a little kid, and, you know, I don't want to have any regrets when I'm 50, 60 years old that I didn't get didn't get to do or accomplish some of the things I've wanted to accomplish in the sport of flat track. So just, yeah, it's a full-time job, man, just trying to find sponsors. And it's not hard. For me, it's not hard to necessarily keep my sponsors year after year, because once they get involved in the sport and my program, you know, they're kind of hooked and they really benefit from it. But getting them to jump on board is sometimes the toughest thing. So that's step one in any sponsorship, is getting them to actually jump on board and be a part of the program.
Well, since we didn't have a show for a little while, let's talk about the AIM show down there in Orlando. And you sent me a picture right away when the doors open of that beautiful FC07 painted black and yellow like the old style Yamahas, you know, from the 80s, actually from the 70s is what I remember that paint job from, with the yellow and the black stripes. Tell us about that bike, and then tell us about what happened down in AIM. What'd you learn? What's new? What's hot? What's fresh?
Yeah, I mean, I got to the show maybe a half hour, an hour late than when it opened, and as soon as I walked in, I didn't even hear anything about the bike. I just saw it sitting there. I'm like, oh, wow. There's something that, you know, I didn't expect to see, and it was, you know, a full factory-built effort Yamaha FZ07. It was pretty neat looking. Like you said, it had the retro Yamaha colors, and they really did a good job with it, just looking at it. It looked really neat. It was unique. It was not like a typical flat tracker. I mean, you could tell it was still a flat track bike, but it wasn't, you know, molded from a typical flat track build. You know, everything was kind of special on it. They had a Graves Yamaha exhaust on it, and the frame was special built. The, you know, everything on it was somewhat unique. You know, it did have like Durell suspension on it and normal flat track wheels and stuff like that, tires obviously, but everything about the bike looked pretty special. And I don't know much about the bike, Scotty, besides, you know, it was an FZ07. It literally broke the internet there that day. Every 5 minutes I got on, you know, or every time I'd get on social media, I'd see a new picture from a news site or somebody else. So Yamaha's smart, man. They ain't dumb. The exposure alone they got from this build was worth it. And they're really firing up flat track fans. They did it kind of last year when they talked about getting involved in the sport, and, you know, they put up contingency. But really, it didn't really come through as well as I would have hoped. You know, they, a lot of the teams that started building the motorcycles, they couldn't get parts, from what I understand, wiring harness and stuff like that. You know, the only Yamaha that actually was completed was Babe DeMay's bike. And, you know, but they're getting everyone excited about it. So hopefully they can step up, you know, and I guess from what I've heard, they're going to mass produce those bikes. I don't know if mass produce is actually the correct term, but they're going to have those bikes available that you can buy right from Yamaha and go racing. They're going to, like, be like a kit bike, and you purchase the bike and you go racing. So I don't know how I feel about that. I think it's kind of cool, but we'll see, man. The bike looked good. It's just, is it fast? Does it handle good? Those are two very important factors with any motorcycle. You know, looking cool is one thing, but I'd rather have an ugly-looking motorcycle that was fast and handled good than a cool-looking motorcycle that was slow and had a death wobble to it down the straightaways. But we'll see, man. It definitely has some promise to it, and I rode the Yamaha last year, you know, and I know the potential of the bike, so we'll see what happens. What were your thoughts on it? I mean, I'm sure you like it. You know, it looked cool.
Yeah, it looked good, and you know, I rode a Yamaha back in the late 90s when the Super Tracker class was around, and we actually had painted ours with the yellow and the black stripes like that. We were in, I think we're in Cycle World, one of the magazines around then, they did a photo shoot out at Del Mar, and so I was really excited to see the retro paint job on it. I think it's going to be you know, a work in progress. I think, you know, if they're going to come in, you know, are they going to come in with a factory team, or are they going to have a factory support team, or are they going to help out Babe DeMay? There's so many questions up in the air, you know, that I'd like to see, you know, what's going to happen. Are they going to, you know, are they going to hire riders, or, you know, there's so many rumors in our sport until we see something actually happen that you just got to wait and see. And so I'm just curious as to what their plan is. You know, what are they going to do? You know, are they going to come out with a team next year and stuff like that? And speaking of rumors, I've been hearing some rumors about another company, Indian, trying to get involved in flat track. Have you heard anything about that?
I have heard bits and pieces from the Indian side of things. I haven't heard much more than just they want to get involved and they have a motorcycle that they feel can be competitive. But I haven't heard too much else regarding that, Scotty. But the more brands, the better. I've said that from day one, even being, you know, growing up at a Harley dealership and bleeding black and orange my whole life. You know, the more brands, it gives us riders options. You know, it allows us to get in touch with different dealerships, you know, that have certain brands that may be interested in sponsoring the sport. And, there's a lot of great things about having multi-brand racing in the sport. And, Indian would be cool. It would be really cool. I mean, that's a very, very prestige old, you know, brand that's been around for a very long time. I'm not sure how long they've been around, but I think they've been around longer than Harley. They've been around since at least the early 1900s. It might even be the late 1800s, man. Ben Franklin probably had an Indian. But no, I mean, it's cool, dude. I'm digging it. So we'll have to see how that plays out, too.
Yeah, I think, you know, what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing is they're going to try to come in with about five, you know, only going about five rounds next year and then come in full steam in 2017. And that's actually when the class structure is going to change, too. So that all made pretty good sense to me. You know, they're going to come in and do some testing in 2016. I just don't know if they're going to, you know, hire a few riders just to do some testing, or are they going to, you know, I don't know. It's just, you know, it's kind of like the Yamaha deal. Wait and see. But, you know, it's just, you know, we got to wait until, you know, Springfield next year before we see a twin again, you know, so it's going to be a while. So all this stuff's up in the air, and it's like, hurry up and wait, you know.
Are you saying that the first twins race for next season is Springfield Mile? Have you seen a schedule? Are you holding out on us, Scotty?
No, I'm just going off of what's happened in the years past. You know, we raced Daytona in March, and then we sit on our thumbs until the end of May for Springfield. And I would love to see another race or two before, you know, before we get to Springfield, you know, I mean, why not? It depends on, you know, the locale and temperature and rain and all that stuff. I was just basing it on what we've done in the past.
No, I was just giving you shit. No, I it's cool. You know, Springfield typically is, you know, Memorial Day weekend. It's the first twins race. And it is kind of a bummer that we have to wait so long between Daytona and Springfield. But at the same time, you know, we don't get the schedule and the rules for next season until very, very late in the year. So it gives us a little bit of time to build these motorcycles and prepare for the season. You know, Daytona, it's kind of just get through Daytona, you know, it's the 450 race. There's no real surprises or changes regarding that event every year. So get through Daytona, and then you really focus in on the rest of the season after Daytona. It would be very hard to prepare and build a twin in a couple months, you know, 2.5 months before the season would, you know, start if it didn't in fact start right when Daytona was. So it gives us a little bit of time. You know, we're a lot of the teams are, you know, this is kind of like their side hobby. You know, they have full-time jobs and then they build race bikes and run race teams and race on the weekends. So it gives them a little bit of extra time, you know, having the first national, Twins National in May rather than earlier in the season. But we'll have to see, man. I haven't heard much on a schedule yet. I would assume it'd be very similar to this year because I just see that as my prediction. I don't see it being, you know, having a ton of new races, but I know we are racing at the X Games again next year, and I think that's going to be real positive for the sport. I heard two more years at the X Games, but I know for sure next year, I think it's June 2nd. We'll hear more about that event in the near future, but that's been really, really good for the sport. You know, it's been drawing a lot of extra attention to the sport of flat track, and that's never a bad thing. And then we have some big events coming up here this offseason, Scotty, with the Super Prestigio in Barcelona, the original one. We have the Troy Bayless Classic coming up, and then we have the American Super Prestigio coming up the day after Las Vegas, the finale of the AMA Pro Flat Track Series. What are your thoughts on the new invitees for the Super Prestigio? I did see that Roger Lee Hayden was invited and will be racing, and do you think anyone else will get an invite on the road racing side of things?
Yeah, I think they'll send out some more invites. I know it's very challenging to see if these guys can compete at all. You know, I mean, their schedules are very, very busy, and I know Nikki Hayden, you know, is going to do World GP next year, so he's actually going to be doing some testing that weekend, so he can't make it. But you know, I would like to see some more road racers come in. You know, I mean, right now it's primarily all American dirt trackers. And I think we need a little bit of flair and see if anybody else is available to come in and give it a shot. You know, I know it sparks some interest, but as of right now, we haven't got anybody kind of outside the box yet signed up to be a part of it. I think it's just rough at the timing of when it's happening is part of the problem, and I don't know if anybody else is free enough, according to their schedules and their contracts and all that fun stuff, to come over and race in Las Vegas. I hope a bunch of people show up, you know.
Yeah, I think it kind of, to be honest, with all the American flat trackers that are coming, the regulars in the series that do this every single week, and I think that many riders, it might intimidate some of these non-flat track guys to sign up for the event and race it. You know, I mean, on one side of things, it's a 10th mile oval. It's not, you know, if there was a flat track to do and you're kind of not super experienced with it, I think this is the track to do it on. It's not like a half mile or a mile where, to be honest, if a road racer came over, you know, without any experience and raced with us on a half mile or a mile, they wouldn't stand a chance. I'm not trying to be cocky or arrogant, but when you go to a 10th mile short track, everything gets slowed down and everyone's very, very close in lap time. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I just think some of the guys might be intimidated. I know I've spoken with Josh Herron. He's a friend of mine, and he actually got an invite, and I don't know if he's racing or not, but a lot of guys I think have gotten invites, but aside from them, you know, I don't want to say they're intimidated, but that might be the case. And aside from that, I just don't see what the incentive is really, you know, for them to race it when some of these guys have, you know, careers in road racing. They don't want to get hurt racing flat track and jeopardize.
Wow, jeopardize.
We're just gonna roll with that. We're just gonna roll with that. Yep, there you go. Their careers, their road racing careers to race. I don't know if there's a purse for the Super Prestigio of the Americas. I don't know anything about that. And you know, I just don't see the incentive for some of those guys to come over and do it. The race in Barcelona is a little bit different. The MotoGP guys for sure aren't intimidated because I don't think they know any better, Scotty. They just like to ride dirt bikes and they're just stoked to be a part of the event. And most of them over there are Mark Marquez's buddies, and they just do the event because it's just something to do and it's fun for them. But over here, you know, it's hard to get the MotoGP guys over here because there's not any real incentive to come over and do it, I don't think. And it's just the timing right now. It was a couple months later, it might be ideal when everything fully wraps up and everyone's kind of bored and sitting on the couch. But, you know, it's just kind of an awkward time, the weekend before Thanksgiving and all that. But no, I hope it goes well. I'm going to be there. I'm not racing the Super Prestigio, but I'll be in Vegas for the finale. If I somehow can pull off my first Grand National win at Vegas, then I guess I'll be racing the Prestigio. But yeah, we'll see what happens, man. I might be up partying all night after my first win. I don't even know if I'd show up the next day for the next.
I bet you would. I mean, you'd have a little nap time in there and get ready. You'd already have the bike set up, so you wouldn't really need much practice. So I think you'd be good to go. But man, that'd be pretty cool. I did hear that Chris Carr and myself and Danny Medine will be doing the coverage just like a Fans Choice Grand National, you know, just like we've been doing for the Grand National. So that will be the same. And I'm excited. You know, I can't wait to get out there. It's like I said earlier in the show, it's been such a long time since we raced a race at, you know, Del Mar, Delaware. And I just, you know, I don't know. Maybe I forget how to talk. You know, I mean, it's been a while. And I'm sure you guys, you know, forget what it's like to be on a 450. So I've heard a lot of people have been training already, you know, trying to get ready for this thing. And, you know, the championship's still up for grabs technically between three guys. You know, most likely it's between Jared and Brian. It's going to come down. I mean, I always say Daytona's a crapshoot, but Las Vegas is going to be a crapshoot. I mean, you know, it depends on how many riders show up. You may have to win your heat race to go to the main event. If you don't, you might be stuck in the B main event and have to come from way deep in the pack. So, you know, a lot's going to depend on qualifying. A lot's going to depend on getting a good start in the heat race and then, you know, holding the line and not letting anybody come in there and move you out of the way. I mean, it's going to be a whole different race. And I'm super excited about it, too, because my grandparents are going, my dad and my stepmom are going, and two sets of aunts and uncles are going all out to Vegas. So I'm pretty excited about it. It's been a long time since since my whole family's, you know, that's pretty much I consider my dad's side of the family is the racing part of our family, but it's been a long time since they've been all to a race at one time. Both of my aunts used to race, my dad used to race, and obviously my grandfather used to race, but I'm excited, and it's kind of a getaway, and they're going to, you know, catch two races in one weekend and have some fun, and maybe gamble a little bit, maybe see some shows and all that fun stuff that you can do in Vegas. So I just wish it was here. You know, it's about 23 days away, I think, and, man, I'm just ready to go racing.
Yeah, it'll be cool. Interesting. It might be the word I can use for what Vegas is going to be like. It's going to be interesting. You really just got to go into it with no expectations, I think. I mean, for me, I'm going to. You know, you could be the fastest guy there, and, you know, you have some bad luck, and you don't even end up making the main event. So I'm just going to go there without any expectations, and if I do well, it's going to be a bonus for me. You know, I obviously think I can win. I think 30 different guys can win this race. That's why it's kind of one of those deals where you just can't go in there expecting too much. You just got to go in there level-headed and not let it ruin your off season. You know, you can't, you know, usually if you do bad the last race of the year, it kind of sets a tone heading into the off season, but you can't really let Vegas determine that. And it's just, you just got to be mentally strong and whole shots, qualify good, and just do your best, not get moved. It's going to be a lot of bar banging going on, but at the same time, you know, the AMA has been really strict about moving people out of the way and bar banging and all that stuff. And, you know, in the rule book, it doesn't say, you know, everyone will say, oh, it's a short track. You know, you got to expect that. Well, yeah, but in the rule book, it doesn't specify whether or not, you know, it just says you can't, you know, the rules don't clarify what racetracks you can do that on. It's just a general rule. You can't pass up the inside with bumping someone. And we'll just see how they how they enforce the rules at Vegas, and it'll be interesting, man. I'm excited though. It's gonna be fun. Las Vegas, what's not to be excited about? But let's take a quick commercial break, Scotty. We have some sponsors we want to thank. You know, I definitely want to thank Tommy Duma Fine Jewelers. They do a lot for us, a lot for the sport. They got a really cool ring for the Super Prestigio I saw. Looks really cool, man. They keep putting out all these badass rings and watches, and one of these days I'm going to have to win me one of those. It's really cool, and Tommy does, you know, he's just a great guy, former Grand National racer. I want to thank Light Shoe. They're having a really, really good special going on right now. You save a good chunk of change if you go on their website right now and purchase a Light Shoe up until Christmas, I think the sale is. So make sure you go on there and check them out. Tell them we sent you, Flat Track Weekly Radio, Corey and Scotty, and grab yourself a Light Shoe for the upcoming 2016 season. Upcoming, well, 6 months away. But, yeah, grab a Light Shoe. And Evan's cooling too, Evan's Power Sports. They were at the AIM Expo, Scotty. Got to hang out with them a little bit. John Light and all those guys are good friends of mine. And I don't know if I want to claim that or not, but we ride pit bikes together. And they have really good products over there at Evan's Coolant. I use them on all my race bikes, well, all the liquid-cooled race bikes. So make sure you check them out and like their pages on social media and whatnot. But we'll take a quick commercial. We'll come right back. We'll probably wrap up the show, man. There's not a lot going on, but I'm sure we can figure out some things to talk about here in the last segment. We'll be right back.
Evans Wireless Engine Coolant. Over the last 20 years, Evans Wireless Coolants have been tested and proven by OEMs, racing teams, and automotive aficionados to increase reliability and reduce operating costs. The operating temperature of an engine is very close to the boiling point of water. Hot spots within the cooling system can lead to localized boiling, generating steam which increases system pressure and prevents effective cooling. Evans Wireless Coolants have a boiling point of over 375 degrees. Far above the operating temperature of the engine. The high boiling point ensures that the coolant remains liquid at all times, enabling consistently effective cooling. Eliminating water eliminates the problem of boil over after boil over. Try some today in your race bike. For more information, log on to evanscooling.com or call 888-990-2665.
Thank you.
Light Shoe, the number one maker of steel shoes for dirt track racers. Light Shoes come with a one-year guarantee on light shoe material and craftsmanship. Light Shoes are worn by the pros like Mark Marquez, Sammy Halbert, Wyatt McGuire, Jeffrey Carver, and former Grand National champion Brad the Bullet Baker. Light Shoes can be purchased separately or as a boot and steel shoe combination. Light Shoe also carries hot shoe straps, t-shirts, and hoodies. For more information, check out lightshoe.com. Light Shoe, for the racer's heart and soul.
We're back. I got Shayna's dog is sitting on the couch behind me, and it's sleeping, and it's breathing really loud. I'm going to slide on over here a little bit. Agio, she's 8 years old, Shayna's Puggle, and man, she's like the loudest sleeper ever. It's quite comical, actually. But anyway, we're back here on the show. Scotty, I kind of wanted to get into a little bit of non-flat track, but still motorcycle racing. This past weekend, MotoGP, there's a lot of controversy. It broke the internet, actually. I know I've said that already about the new Yamaha, but this has been creating quite the buzz on the internet and social media and what have you. There was an incident between Valentino Rossi and Mark Marquez. I actually haven't even fully looked into it, but from what I understand, I've seen video. Marquez and Rossi, they have some beef going on right now, and Marquez, yeah, I guess he doesn't want Valentino Rossi to win the title. He'd rather I'd rather have Jorge Lorenzo win it. And I guess he was kind of block passing Rossi and slowing down and just kind of trying to ruin Rossi's championship hopes, I guess you could say. So Rossi went into the corner and looked like he kind of wanted to just slow Marquez down so he could try and maybe just create a quick gap and get away from him. And I guess they touched and Marquez went down. So that's the short end of it. And now Rossi got penalized for the whole deal. From what I understand, Marquez hasn't been penalized at all. And Rossi will start the season finale race from the back of the grid, regardless of how he qualifies. I'm not sure if he'll even qualify because he's going to start in the back anyway. I would think he would. I'm not sure how that works, but regardless, Rossi will be starting at the tail end of the grid in Valencia, and he only has a 7-point gap on Jorge Lorenzo, and this will be the last round of the championship. So what are your thoughts on that, and how do you think it's going to shape up at Valencia? I know it's road racing, but we're big, big fans of MotoGP, and it's definitely a really cool series that they race in.
Well, I didn't see all the stuff leading up to the incident. I saw probably two turns before, and, they were passing each other back and forth, and I didn't see Marquez holding him up. I don't know why he would want one rider to win over another, but, maybe he likes the guy better. I don't know. But what I did see is Rossi went in the corner up the inside, looked over his shoulder, and then it looked like he kind of gave him the boot. It physically looked like he kicked Marquez down. And that's what I saw. I saw it a couple different angles. And, man, that'd be a hard one to swallow if I was Mark Marquez, And so far it seems like he's taking the high road. But I think I'd be pretty upset. And, at the speeds that those guys go, that's pretty dangerous. And I did hear on top of what you said that, Rossi would be starting to tail the field. But I think they took 3 championship points away from him, too. Is that correct? Is that what you heard, too?
I did hear that. I did hear that, yep.
So that tightens things up, and it's going to – I think, if I was Rossi, I would go out there and set the fastest lap time I could possible and just prove a point, even though he's starting at the back. He's going to go out there and try to let everybody know that he's fast enough to run up front. And, I think he's got power, and definitely has a mindset to get up to the front. And, 7 points, their points is a lot tighter. If you finish further in the back, you don't get any points. So – their point system's, a lot tighter than ours. Not everybody gets a point if you even qualify for the race. So Rossi's got to get up to the
top
front. He's got to get there in a hurry. Yeah, so he's got to get to the front. He's got to get there in a hurry just to try to hang on to the championship, And we'll see if Mark Marquez will pay him back, or if, how strict they're going to be watching. I know all the eyes are going to be on those two guys for sure, and this might let Lorenzo just sneak up there and win the championship, So we'll have to see. It's going to be a great weekend, And, man, I just I never know when it's on TV and stuff like that, so I never know when to watch it, but I always get the highlights and stuff on Instagram and on Twitter and stuff.
Well, this race actually was on, I think it was 2:30 in the morning. It was on at a really, you know, it was almost impossible for any of us to stay up late on the East Coast here and watch it. But I disagree with you. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I disagree with you. I don't know. You know, I think from what I've seen, I mean, from what I've heard and what I've seen, Marquez kind of asked for it a little bit, you know, kind of. I don't agree with what Rossi did because, you know, he's a 9-time champion and a veteran of the sport. You got to control your emotions, especially when you're fighting for a championship. But, you know, it kind of, they had a press conference leading up to the race, and I guess Rossi called him out for doing the same thing at the previous race, kind of slowing up the pace and cutting him off. And those guys are intelligent. They race each other every weekend. So I think Rossi kind of, he knows, you know, what Marquez was doing, and he wasn't really making anything up. And then from what I've seen, I saw it was a helicopter cam, and it did look like, you know, from what Marquez was running in the morning warm-up, he was a second or a second and a half faster than what he was running in the main or in the actual race. So he definitely slowed his pace up and looked like he was, you know, kind of trying to hinder the championship a little bit, but with that being said, he didn't really break any rules. He was just kind of being a pain in the ass. And Rossi just had enough, man. You poked the bear, and he kind of put him on his butt, on Marquez's butt. And I like, you know, from what I know and what I've seen, I'm a fan of both of those guys. Marquez, he has a lot of interest in flat track, and I think he's just a really talented guy. And same with Rossi. He's literally the greatest motorcycle racer of our era, I think. You know, he's literally, if there's any motorcycle racer I'd want to meet, you know, in any discipline, it would be Valentino Rossi. He's just kind of legendary. So, you know, I just, it's crazy. If you told me at the beginning of the season that Rossi would even be in this, you know, contention for a championship with one race left, I would have told you were crazy. So it's cool to see. Hopefully, I kind of hope either they take away the starting position. I think 3 points is enough of a penalty. You know, don't decide the championship over something like that. Let the boys race and see how it plays out. Either that, or I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of the fellow, you know, I've seen some interviews from other riders, and I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of the riders just moved over and let Rossi go. They disagree with the penalty that was laid out, and I don't know. I think MotoGP is kind of kicking themselves in the butt a little bit with this penalty, and same thing with Rossi and Marquez. It's just, it adds excitement to the sport, but at the same time, no one really likes to see that kind of crap. So hopefully we like to see good racing, but we don't like to see that kind of racing where people are kind of running into each other and just being silly and stupid. You know, they're professionals and shouldn't be doing that stuff. But yeah, I don't know, Scotty. We'll see what happens, man. One more race. MotoGP is awesome. Like you said, Mickey Hayden, this will be his last MotoGP race as far as we know. He'll be going the World Superbike next year. And it's cool, man. From what I understand, he'll be teammates with PJ Jacobson, my little American buddy. I'm not little anymore, I guess. He's a grown man. He's got facial hair now, and I don't. So he's all grown up. I just remember PJ, you know, I was racing like the 85 class, and he'd be on a PW50 and just one of the fastest young flat trackers I've ever seen. I mean, when I was on a 450, there were days that I've seen him do stuff on the 85, CR85, that I couldn't even explain. Like, it was just like, how's this kid doing this? And turns out he's, you know, second in the Super Sport Championship overseas and teammates with Mickey Hayden next year. So that's really cool, man. I'm looking forward to following the World Superbike Series a little bit more next year, and I guess I'll follow the MotoGP a little bit less now that we don't have American that I know of in the series next year. But the way it goes, man, hopefully some of these young talented road racers can keep progressing and move over to MotoGP. Sky, did you see also, you know, I don't want to get too far into it, but did you see they announced they're having a TTR 125 Invitational at the Super Prestigio as well. There's a list of 10 riders that got invited.
Is that, I think that's the riders from the KTM Rookies Cup. Is that correct?
Well, there's two riders from the KTM Rookies Cup, and then there's a handful of flat trackers. I saw the two KTM riders, road racers who I saw that will be racing will be Brandon Posh and Ashton Yates. And then I saw a handful of flat trackers that will be racing. I saw Dallas Daniels, Jeremiah Duffy, Morgan Monroe, David Kolstad. Who else did I see on there? A couple other really fast kids I saw on that list of Hunter Brooks. Trying to think, but the list is I think it's on roadracingworld.com, but there's a list right now of 10 racers. Oh, Dalton Schiffer. So there's a list of about 10 racers that will be racing. It's an American Supercamp sponsored PTR 125 Cup or whatever you want to call it at the Super Prestigio of the Americas. So I thought that's really cool. They have an event like that in Barcelona, the Kenny Noyes camp. He puts up some KLX 125 and they have a similar race. So I thought this was cool, Scotty. What are your thoughts on it?
I think it's very cool for these young riders to get the chance to race with and on the same track as, you know, some of the best riders in the world. You know, I mean, we know the best AMA flat trackers will be there for sure, but, you know, some of the other guys are getting invited too. So it's a great opportunity for these youngsters to get a chance to race at basically a Grand National. You know, it's the night after the Grand National, but in front of the huge crowd, you know, in an indoor controlled environment. It's going to be a great event, you know, and the Super Hooligans are going to be part of it as well. So that's going to make it interesting, you know, having three different classes, and it'll keep it entertaining for the fans.
No doubt, man. I'm excited, actually, to watch the race. You know, like I mentioned earlier, I won't be racing it unless I pull off a victory the night before. But I think it'll be a good race to spectate and hang out and enjoy myself. But that's all I got, man. I can't really think of anything else to talk about this week. Let's cut it a little bit short, and we'll catch up on some stuff heading into next week. There's going to be a lot of stuff coming up soon. There's going to be a lot of rider switching this year, from what I understand. It's, you know, silly season. There's always riders that are jumping teams, but I think there's going to be a lot more of that this year. I mean, basically, almost everybody is kind of, I feel like, not everybody, but 90% of the guys will be kind of jumping ship. So We'll get into that as we hear more, and we'll keep you guys posted. But thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in. Scotty's got the Instagram photos coming, so make sure you hit us up at Flat Track Weekly Radio. Hit us up on Facebook. And, again, thanks to all our sponsors and listeners. So that's all I got, Scotty. You want to wrap this up?
That's all I got. As Dave Despain would say, keep your wheels on the ground and your feet on the pegs, and we'll see you next week on the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show.